Welcome to, oh, that's just not right. I practiced in the car too, damn it.
It was utterly inevitable. It's been so long.
I was like, it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen tonight. And I practiced on my way to work and on my way home from work. And I did like half a show each time, just practice. I was like, this is going to be good. And no, because I'm a moron. Okay, I can do this because it's not that hard. I do harder things at work. But for some reason, I have more trouble with this. Okay. It's so cheesy and ridiculous. Welcome to Wargaming Recon. I'm your host, Jonathan J. Reinhardt. Wargaming Recon is the only member of the TSR Podcast Network to discuss historical and New England gaming. Today is your lucky day, everyone. That's right. Today is the first episode of the 2021 season. This episode is called Escaping the Dumpster Fire. So it's been a little while, I know, but don't worry because we've been up to some really cool stuff. We had a Kickstarter, which we'll talk about in the episode, and we have all sorts of other cool things that we're going to kind of cover. But most importantly, this episode is a very special episode. And not because it's the first one of the 2021 season, but because I am joined by someone who I know you've all been dying to hear because it's been quite a while. I am, of course, referring to the one and only, very, very special, Mr. Adrian Benson, my buddy. Adrian, how are you?
For God's sake, John.
You want me to go on some more? Because I can do it.
No, definitely don't go on some more. I'm doing really pretty good. It's good to be here, but yeah, I feel like I haven't done this for, 4 months at least?
Long time.
Yeah, it's been a while. Actually, it was longer than that.
I can't remember when the last time was.
I don't remember. I don't remember if I did the last show before the break or not. I don't think so. It's probably been about 5 months at least since I've been on.
Yeah, because there was a few where even I wasn't on because 2020 was ridiculous.
Yeah.
Oh, Jesus. When was the last time? I'm actually looking back.
Actually, I'm thinking the last one I might have done would have been the solo I did with Dave Valentine and Devil in the Wilderness. That might have been the last one I did.
I think you're right. So that, oh my, guess when that was.
When was that?
It was, so it came out August 31st. So it would have been August of 2020 sometime when I recorded it.
Yeah, you know, that sounds about right because that was in the midst of the moving, flopping Twitch plus the coronavirus, run around with your hair on fire, flopping Twitch and the cancer flopping Twitch. And yeah, so that sounds about right. Yeah.
Yeah.
have had stuff to do. So yeah.
I think you have. And then I did one after that. I did two total after that because I did one. And then a bunch of people in my life died or got really ill. So I wasn't able to do much or anything. And my grandmother died and I was a total mess for like the last, well, I still am, but for the last half of 2020. And so Joshua climbed in the seat, so to speak, and took over. And then I did the final one of the year and now we're here.
Here we are.
God, that's so weird.
For better or worse, here we are. Probably worse. We'll see.
Yeah, it has to be worse, right? Because we don't get better. We're not like wine.
No.
I think we're like cheese, right? You like cheese, right? I like cheese.
I do.
You unless you store it properly, when it's just kind of out there, it gets grosser, moldy, and funky, and then you just have to throw it in the trash.
Yeah.
I think that's like us, right? Because unless we're regularly tended to, we become moldy, funky cheese, not like the blue cheese that people like. It's just the stuff that's just kind of like, eh.
I don't know. I don't feel moldy and chunky, but we were talking off air about aging ungracefully, and I would say that we're probably doing that. I feel like I am anyways.
Oh, I know. So this is totally off topic and probably doesn't belong here, but I don't care. It's our show, so whatever. So being older now, I've noticed, and this is gross, but the need to trim my nose hairs, which is something I never expected having to do. And I'm apparently not the only one. I've talked with other people at work who are around my same age and older. It's the same thing. It's like you didn't have to do this before, but now it's become a thing. And it's unexpected and weird, but old age-ish.
Yeah, there's a lot of things that become unexpected and weird Your ear hair will be next. I had to trim some tufts off the top of my ears the other day. I'm like, what the frick is going on with this? But anyway, there it is.
Oh, yeah, I shave them sometimes.
When I get my hair cut, the barber always takes care of it. Sometimes it needs a little help in between. So I don't know. You turn into a hobbit as you get older because you do shrink too. So I don't know.
Yeah, that's true. I think I am part hobbit anyway. I've always loved Levinses. So it's a good thing. Pre-pandemic at work, we used to have Levinses. We'd go for a coffee break at 11. And so I would tell people we had to go for our Levinses. And I don't think they understood why I called it that, because
I was such a demographic. That was going to be my question. Yeah, if anybody knew what the heck you were talking about.
No, it's just, I mean, I work with a bunch of 60-plus-year-old non-nerdy, geeky women.
And yeah, I was going to say, I mean, I'm 55, and I know what 11s is. I mean, come on.
But not really the thing. I explained it to them, and they were like, oh, okay. They're just kind of humoring me.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, this guy is weird. Let's not do 11s with him anymore.
We'll just kind of go do our own thing. I've gotten used to people humoring me. It happens a lot in life.
Oh, my gosh.
And actually, one place where it does happen is when I go to conventions. Don't you love that awkward transition? I feel like I'm Linus from the Linus Tech Tips YouTube channel. And speaking of our sponsor, and do you ever watch those? I love his stuff, but it's so awkward.
I actually don't watch his stuff. No, I haven't.
He does all sorts of, I know he's can be cringeworthy for some people, but like interesting PC builds and things like that, and some PC review stuff or whatever. But and then he'll just be talking about, I don't know, how they're doing some editing thing and trouble they had as they were working on this $25,000 PC that fits in a shoebox or whatever. And then I'll be like, and speaking of shoeboxes, and the next thing you know, he's talking about getting your photos printed on glass or something. I know, it's weird. So I always think of him when I come up with transitions. But this year's been weird and will be weird, I think, for conventions, right? Because of pandemic, still kind of being pandemic-y. Places, especially earlier in this year, have decided to either cancel, like is happening with Huzzah.
Mm-hmm.
So no Huzzah this year, although they say that there's going to be some sort of game days in person or something. But Total Con, for example, they went full virtual, and that was something I actually went to, and it was my first time going to a full virtual convention that I didn't have to do anything to help run, and it was fun, but it was kind of weird.
Yeah, of course it's going to be weird.
They did everything through Discord, so they had a Discord server set up, and they had all these rooms so you could chat with people, and as you know, when you and I are at Total Con, most of our time is spent either just kind of chilling or hanging out with people that we know. I mean, we don't often play games.
Total Con was always a convention we didn't game on. Usually we would get one in, but yeah, we didn't spend a lot of time gaming there usually.
No. And so trying to replicate that is an interesting experience, I guess, or was for me anyway. So I spent most of my time in the vendor rooms, which was so dangerous. I ended up buying, and I have some of it here. So I bought a bunch of stuff from Foam Brain Dice. Now, they usually have that big vendor booth in the corner on the left as you get in the room, and with a million dice. So I got these dice here that no one's going to be able to see, but presumably you can. And so they're rainbow dice. They're translucent rainbow dice. They're actually LGBTQIA+ dice, but I got them because I thought they were really pretty rainbow dice.
Actually, nobody can see them because as you hold it in front of the camera, your head disappears. All we can see is the Wargaming Recon banner.
Because we're professional and I get the green screen on.
Absolutely.
But the translucent dice. And then I ended up getting free dice from them. I got some pins and stuff that my wife wanted, but I got these really cool, like this shimmery purple. I'll have a picture up on we'll put them in our Discord, I guess. Speaking of Discord, and on the Facebook group. But hey, you can hear them rattle. So I got these free, like purple, kind of shimmery, sparkly space dice. And then I hit up another vendor that I didn't remember hearing of before, but they were there when you and I were there in 2019 from the Fabric Treasury. And so I think they actually had their booth. It was kind of like this caravan kind of look. And it was right outside the vendor room, but right next to the door as you go in. Mm-hmm. And so they sell well, they sell basically, but they sell like all these different kind of themed dice bags and all that sort of stuff that kind of goes with it. But I ended up picking up D20 coins. So one side is a 20, one side's a 1, so it's technically D2. And they're dirt cheap. They went like hotcakes, which I was talking with the vendor and they were surprised by, because they said they've had a hard time selling them. And for whatever reason, people just really got excited about it. And so a lot of people were talking in the Discord there, saying how in the Discord, I am old. People were saying how they were buying like 10 or 20 of them at a time, but they're metal and they feel really nice in your hand. So my kids have been playing with them. They love them. They just kind of toss them around. And so I explained to my eldest, Catherine, how 20 is a crit. And how she said, what does a crit mean? I said, well, that's a critical hit, honey. And when you get a 20, it means whatever you tried to do, you succeeded. And she's like, uh-huh. And I said, so just think, if you wanted to eat a piece of cake and you're going to go and try to get the piece of cake and you want to try to convince daddy that you should have the cake, right? And what's daddy going to say? And she's like, no. And I said, yeah, of course I'm going to say no. But if you got a 20, that means daddy said, yeah, not only did daddy say yes, but daddy took the cake out and put it on a plate for you and gave you a fork, set you down and give you a glass of milk. And she's like, oh. And I said, but on the other side, what is that number? And because she's doing the whole reading thing now, she said, oh, that's a 1. I said, so that's a critical fail. That's a miss. If you get that, that means you just really bungled it. So not only did you not get your cake, but you got in trouble and had to go spend some time in your room to calm down because you threw a fit. And I was not very happy. And she's like, oh, I don't want to get that 1. And I said, no, nobody does. But so like those are really cool. And then they gave a free D20 that has what looks like beads in it that kind of got melted into the dice. So that was kind of a neat thing. And then I bought a vinyl sticker that's a dice goblin, but I got it only because it's a dice goblin. And I like the idea of being a dice goblin where you just kind of steal all everyone's dice, but also it kind of bears a passing resemblance to Grogu from The Mandalorian. And so I have that on the back of my my laptop. But it was just nice to do some shopping, hang out with some people, went to some events and things like that. So that was kind of cool. But it was very weird for me to just, it was nice, but unusual, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, I applaud, and a lot of cons are doing this, a lot of gatherings are doing this, not just game conventions and everything. And, you know, you got to applaud them for trying to plug along, but it's just, it's not the same. And the whole virtual thing, particularly virtual gaming, just, it doesn't do it for me. You know, it's like, even with something like Tabletop Simulator, it's not, although Tabletop Simulator is actually really pretty cool, but it's still not, well, I mean, it's stupid to say it's not the same. Of course it's not the same, but the bottom line is it's not as much fun. It's not nearly as enjoyable. You know, I'll do it, but eh.
Well, I think one of the things that, with TotalCon anyway, that kind of really saved them, that's a terrible phrase, but that made a difference for them, is that going through the event listings, they had some panels and guests that they wouldn't normally be able to have just because of like the whole travel kind of thing. So they had just about the entire Pondsmith clan and everyone over there at Artal doing this whole Artal kind of thing where they talked about Cyberpunk Red and all the other properties they're doing. And it would be hard to do that because I know like Mike and them just coming all the way out from the West Coast, it's an ordeal, right?
Yeah, definitely. And especially now when they make travel absolutely as difficult as they possibly can. And stuff like that, the panels and everything like that, those are great virtually, obviously. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of the business stuff like that I go to and everything, obviously everything is all Zoom meetings or Microsoft Teams meetings now. And that works out great. You know, it's perfect for that kind of stuff. But the actual gaming experience is like, I can't get into it. It's not for lack of trying or interest, but it's like, it's I don't love it.
Yeah. And I mean, looking at the listing of all the games, and they've always kind of skewed this way, but you could tell there were, I could maybe count on one hand the number of actual minis events that there were.
Yeah. And of course there wasn't going to be a lot. I would say like, and for TotalCon, it may have worked out much better. I didn't attend, maybe I should have, but role-playing actually, we've done it. It works fine over a meeting like that. I mean, it's not, obviously it's not, but it works, and it works pretty well, whereas like a board game or a miniatures game doesn't really. I mean, I guess a board game could over something like Vassal, but
yeah, I mean, even like the board games, and kind of like what you were alluding to, there weren't as many of them. There were some. It was mostly the tournaments that they do, and right. And that sort of stuff, all that organized play for board games. Not as much of the casual. I mean, Ben Gerber still did his, I can't remember who he did it with, but, you know, like the casual 5-minute pub game kind of thing. Mm-hmm. But it was mostly role-playing games. And, I mean, there were some issues there with people getting stuff and getting into things and that kind of stuff. But overall, I think it was successful for... because of the role playing. And so the fact that they have kind of, in my opinion, for a long time, if not always, been focused on the role playing, I think that really kind of helped them with this.
Yeah, no doubt.
But so I will say this is not a good reason for it to stand out, but this Total Con stands out for me as I was at an event, and it was the very first time I had ever been in an event. It was a Zoom event where it was Zoom bombed. The link got out to the world, and people were coming in drawing swastikas on the screen and calling out and calling people all sorts of unkind names and harassing all of us and just really being terrible human beings, like the worst of the worst of the net. And I had never experienced that before. So that was quite interesting to have that. So it left its mark.
Oh my gosh. Now I wish I had attended. Yeah, that's a standout for sure. Well, welcome to 2021.
It's funny too, because coming up in a few weeks, as of when we're recording this in, what are we, March, middle of March 2021, there's going to be GaryCon coming up. And GaryCon made some headlines before TotalCon for the process that they're going to be putting into place to try to deal with all this in advance, to safeguard everyone for how you check in and all that kind of thing. So you check in and you have to have like a camera and show ID to prove that you are you and all this sort of stuff. So TotalCon did kind of a low-key version of that to try mm-hmm. to deal with any bad actors, but they can't deal with a case where a link gets shared outside of the con to the event. So the TotalCon did its own thing, and it was really good about it, but this link just kind of got put outside of it and then exploded. Even though there was a waiting room, people were just kind of like flooding in and, you know, doing all that kind of stuff. So, I mean,
yeah.
But it was an experience for sure.
No doubt it was.
I think moving forward, we're going to see, was it Gen Con got rescheduled to September, I think?
I don't remember. I know it got rescheduled. I don't remember with the date or anything. Yeah, a lot of cons are kind of waiting to the last minute to make decisions. I think the three big HGMS conventions, Historicon, Cold Wars, and Fall In, I think they're still... Historicon will be the first one to come up. Is that right?
I think so, yeah.
March, April. Yeah, Historicon will be the first one to come up because that'll be in the summertime. I don't think they've made a final decision on that yet or not. But that'll be either go or no go. I don't think they're going to try to do anything virtual for those, because those are obviously huge mini gaming conventions, and I just don't see them try to do anything virtual with it. Maybe they would. I don't know.
Well, but, and I mean, I've never been, so you would know better than I would. But just kind of based on my experiences, I'm going to guess that a certain strong percentage of individuals who go and run games at these events may not be either as comfortable with or may not have the equipment to do it virtually. To like host the games and do all that kind of stuff virtually. And so that would make it tricky as well.
Yeah. I'm on the Historicon website. It's scheduled for July 7th through the 11th. And there's nothing on here about not seeing anything for, you know, cancellation or alternative experiences, let's call it, anything like that. So, yeah.
Okay. Well, that's interesting then.
And the room block for the Marriott is, unsurprisingly, already sold out. It was probably sold out as soon as it opened.
Yeah, but everyone's dying for that kind of stuff.
If anyone's interested, the Holiday Inn room block is still open, some of them. But anyway, still on as far as I can tell.
That is really interesting. I know Enfilade canceled, I believe, for this year. And they're in May, I believe.
Yeah, May is a little... but I guess it's not really March, April, May, June. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. People decide what they want to decide, but I would say if you're 6 months in, it's probably worth at least trying. I mean, but you never know. You never know what they're going to do to keep us safe. So it's tough for people running these cons. I feel bad for them.
I do too. It's just, I would not want to be in their shoes, and I'm glad I'm not. That's a hard thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's rough. But a neat thing kind of about all of this is that I don't know if you've really noticed as much, but Kickstarter projects have been exploding left and right. There's been so many of them, and they're making so much more money than they probably would any other time.
I think
people are just like, oh, I want new games. I want new whatevers, anything and everything, and just tossing money here left and right at stuff. Have you been looking at any Kickstarters at all or backing anything? You see anything that's interesting?
I have not. I've seen a few that were maybe would have tempted me. Miniature Buildings Authority does Kickstarters for their new stuff. They've had some good stuff out. Firelock Games has had, what was the last one they did shoot? I can't even remember now, but it was Pirates. So I was tempted to back that, but I didn't. Just because I've got all the stuff from their last Kickstarter, the No Peace Beyond the Line, which was the Dutch contingent. Which is, I know exactly where it's at. It's not been touched or painted yet. Again, because you're busy. But there's been several that have been interesting to me, but I haven't backed anything lately. I have thrown some, I'm embarrassed to say it, I've thrown some money at Mully Man Publishing for a bunch of advanced squad leader stuff that I didn't have, and I've been doing some solo ASL. But miniature stuff, aside from rules, because you know I'm always out there buying rules.
You are a rules fanatic.
I love them. I say it all the time. I love having the rules. I enjoy reading them. It's like reading a novel to me. And one of these days, I'm going to find the perfect set of rules for, you know, period X. It'll definitely happen. But until I do, I'll keep buying them and reading them.
I do not believe that you will ever find such a thing. Because I don't think it exists, but I do think you'll keep looking.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. But in particular, the two of the rule sets that I've bought, I've actually bought three that were really interesting. One is an independently produced one called All Hell Let Loose, which is World War II miniatures designed specifically. You can do it in any scale, but it's designed specifically for 6mm. They're, you know, quote unquote, old school fast play rules. So I grabbed those. They're a good set of rules from what I've read. I don't know if you know this. Maybe a lot of people don't actually know this, but you're familiar with the DBA rules for Ancients.
Yeah.
There is a Napoleonic variant called DBN, Debellus Napoleonicus, or whatever the heck they call it.
Yeah.
So I grabbed those. They've been available for a long time as a PDF, but they were just recently made available as an actual print book. So I bought the print book, which took forever to get here from England, but it got here. So I've been reading through those. It's very similar to DBA, which obviously is what you would expect. So I'm anxious to give that a shot. I've got 28mm models I need to get it going, but I was thinking it might be fun to, I don't even want to say it because I don't need to
say it. You got to say it.
6mm. I'm all about 6mm now. I'm very interested.
Why are you into 6mm now? Sorry, you're breaking up a little bit.
To be honest, if you have a bunch of them, actually, you were break too. Nope. Supposedly the problem. Well, whatever. 6mm. When you have 6mm guys on the table in mass, they look better. I mean, you've seen it at conventions and stuff. I think they do anyway. And you can do it with a smaller space, although I do now have an adequate space. I've got an 8x4 foot table in the basement that I can use. But
that's nice.
I don't know. Now that I've actually got the space to do it, I'm like, you know what? Maybe it'll be okay. Okay, just do use the smaller figures. I don't know. I mean, I haven't bought or painted anything.
Yeah.
If I do it, but 6mm World War II, I have purchased them before we did the move. I started painting some of that stuff because I'm more interested in doing larger scale World War II stuff, like the World Meter rules and everything, with a few exceptions like Mustafa's Rommel, a few exceptions like that. They're largely geared towards like company level games. And if you want to do larger scale stuff, it's easier to do it in 6mm. And there's some 6mm rule sets are designed specifically for 6mm that will let you do larger scale battles. So Fistful of Toes is one set that I have, is really good. It's kind of generic because, as the name would lead you to believe, it's kind of, you can cover everything from World War II through, you know, modern warfare with Fistful of Toes. French war machine guns up to nuclear weapon, but rule. So, I mean, They're generally less expensive. They paint, unless you're a fanatic, they paint much faster. I found that out painting the Civil War guys. I don't know. It's something else to try, just something else to spend money on.
No, I think you highlighted some really good
terrain is easier to put together for it. Yeah. But predominantly, at least for stuff like Napoleonics or Seven Years' War, stuff like that, Civil War, you can get larger masses of troops on the table. I mean, you still got to paint them all, and that's a bummer. But you can get more stuff, quote unquote, on the table, and it looks more like a real battle to me. I mean, obviously, they're not as deep as 8mm models and that down, but my 20mm models are not painted awesome, so it doesn't really matter. That much. it's better for me to have more little ones that look kind of okay than fewer big ones that look, you know. So
no, you're right. I mean, and
so anyway, those are my reasons.
No, those are all great reasons, and I think you've highlighted just about every single reason people do go to a smaller scale. I mean, you get the big ones, savings in space, savings in money, savings in time. They look better. You don't have to put as much effort in, so you can get through them quicker. You can get stuff cheaper, all that kind of stuff, and you can do larger battles. I think you covered it all. That's why, I don't know. I don't think that those scales are going to go away anytime soon.
No. I mean, that's not to say I'm not going to do, you know, obviously 28s, but, or even 15s. I've got a lot of my big decision now is what to do for Civil War, because I've got all the 6mm stuff for ACW that I put together for Altar of Freedom. But the question now is, I don't have a lot of, what am I going to do for Fire and Fury? Do I do 15mm? Oh. Right? Yeah. So it's like, I don't know. And then of course Warlord came out with their kind of sort of not really 15mm.
Yeah.
15mm, nobody wants to do that. And 10mm, nobody wants to do that. We'll do 13.5mm. What do you think of that?
I'll tell you. Yeah, aren't they like 12.5 or something like that? Yeah.
Yeah, there's something like that. 15mm, the world standard scale. That was too good for Warlord. They had a better idea.
Well, I mean, it's the reason why the Perrys with their ACW game, they're like 11mm or something ridiculous. They're not quite 10mm or something.
Oh, you mean the travel battle thing there?
Yeah.
So, yeah, but the point is that Travel Battle was never intended to be, you know, like a regular quote unquote miniatures game. So they can do whatever they want with that.
No, that's true.
But yeah, I don't know. I mean, the figures look good and it's kind of interesting, but you know what? I'll just probably keep ordering from Old Glory and Stone Mountain. Thanks.
Yeah, I'm going to pass. I have a sprue of the Warlord stuff. And I know I'm never going to use it, so I'm shipping it off to someone who will be using it. Which reminds me, I got to actually package it up and send it out. But I'm going to be doing that because they actually want to do a thing. They got a buddy. They get this whole thing planned. And they want to say, okay, here, take it, because I'm never going to use it. And I don't want it clogging up my space here. It's only a sprue, but space is space. I'm honestly, despite, you know, talking about Kickstarters and stuff, I'm really into this whole, like, let's get rid of stuff kind of phase. Because I look around and the stuff takes up space and what am I doing with that? It's just, it's sitting there.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I've come across a lot of stuff like that. So, and I'm still in throw it away mode from the move. So
yeah,
not that I've thrown any gaming stuff away. I'm trying to think about what to do with some of it, but, I'll let you know.
Yeah. And I mean, I have all that in mind. And so I find I'm being very selective about what gaming stuff I want to buy. So it has to really have either a designated purpose for it or actually maybe something more universal. So like the dice is more universal that I got. And then I can't remember how much I backed it for, but I backed the Dwarven Forge Wildlands Kickstarter. So that was the one where like all the outside kind of terrain and that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
And a little while ago, they reopened their pledge manager because there were some resin, limited edition resin pieces that they were doing, but they didn't have final whatever's of. So they reopened it so people could go ahead and add those in if they wanted. I did not, because while they look beautiful, I knew I wouldn't use them. And also didn't have the money to spend on them.
Right.
But there's some nice stuff coming from that. Scatter Terrain, they were kind of focusing more on war gamers with some of their terrain there. And I think they raised, was it 5 million, 6 million they raised with this one? Something ridiculous.
Jesus.
Yeah, like there is a ton of money. And then we were talking earlier in the show about the last time you were on, which was Devil in the Wilderness. And so they've delivered their core game. The minis, yep, they think are going to ship end of March. They just sent an update out to anyone who's a backer. It shows one of the greens of a mini that they was a stretch goal that they included. So that's kind of cool to see that. And if anyone wants to listen to the episode you did, Adrian, it's episode 259. We'll have a link in the show notes. And they actually launched a web store too, where you go. It actually links to the Game Crafter. We can go ahead and get the rules and the cards or whatever from there. And this one might surprise you. I backed a role-playing game.
That does surprise me.
Our friend James Carpio was doing this Kickstarter for something called Anarchy. It's a punk-centric role-playing game set in 1983. And this might shock a lot of people. I'm really into, like, I love the whole punk kind of scene and vibe. And I know I don't project that in any way, shape, or form. But, like, just the idea of it just sounded really cool, what he wanted to do with it. So that all funded. And then this was neat. He did, like, right when everything ended, he did a backer-only viewing of this punk rope documentary called, what was it, American Hardcore. That just really went into the origins of punk music and the clothing and just what it was kind of all about and its time frame of everything. It was really informative. I've been into this whole music documentary kind of thing lately. There's all sorts of them on Netflix that I've been watching, one about Bob Marley, and there was another one about Sam Cooke and just all these sort of things. So this was really cool to kind of get into that. And I know he's chugging away and expecting that to come out at some point. And I mean, who knows if I'll actually play it, but I'm excited to read the rule book. So I kind of feel a little bit of what you get when you're like, oh, look, I need to read some rules and yeah, see how it goes.
You should definitely read the rules and let us know when you're going to run it.
You are a funny individual. Run it like when I'm going to run Bunnies and Burrows that I have on the shelf behind me that no one can see. You know, what else came out? Things in the Basement did a Kickstarter that I backed for World War II. And this one really surprised me that they were doing it, but it was World War II Soviet Railroad stuff. And so I backed for, I can't remember if it was a military train or a cargo train, but I just thought it would be fun to kind of build and put together. And it's kind of, for me anyway, it goes into that whole mental health kind of thing. So he's expecting to deliver early, I think, in April of 2021.
Oh, nice.
So that's really cool. He had a picture up somewhere of just like tons of the kits all lined up in their baggies and everything. So that was cool. And then I backed Foam Brain Games did a Kickstarter that just finished. They reached all the stretch goals. They raised 75 grand, 85 grand. It's called Dice for All 2. So it's an LGBTQIA plus series of dice where each set of dice is color themed depending on what part of the rainbow you are or identify as. I don't identify as any of them, but I really like the rainbow dice. And so I want to get a set of the rainbow dice because they're resin one. So it's not just translucent, but it's actual resin. So it's kind of like that cat's eye marble effect, which is kind of neat. And I thought that'd be really pretty and kind of cool to have. And you can upgrade, which I think I'm going to do, to get a set of like Wargamer dice. So it's a bunch of D6 instead of the role-playing game dice, which I would have no use for. But it was neat to see all the different things that they have coming out. And I feel like it's a hodgepodge of Kickstarters for me. This is probably more than I've ever done in quantity before, but
yeah, it's quite a few actually. Although I guess
Dwarven Forge was last year. They do have a big one coming out later this year. That is really bad because I'm going to spend a lot of money on it. They're going to be redoing and expanding their cities kind of stuff. And as you know, I have a bunch of cities stuff and then I got more for Christmas.
Yeah. Well, so, that's a good thing you got a raise.
Yeah, I know, right? And actually, now that I have this new position at work and everything, I don't work from home anymore. So I got my game table back and it's all cleared off from my work stuff so I can actually you know, build Dwarven Forge stuff. I finished painting some Dwarven Forge stuff. I think it was the last of the stuff I had to paint, and so I did all that. But I think the thing that'll make you most excited is I've backed and placed a lot of GMT Games P500 orders.
I haven't done any of those, but there are many of them out there that that have my interest, and there's still time to get on board with a lot of them. So yeah, I may be chucking some money at GMT, as much as I don't necessarily want to, just because I've got two GMT titles that I've bought that I haven't put on the table yet. Well, I didn't buy them. They were Christmas gifts, actually.
Oh, which ones?
Pendragon and Arden 44. Okay. But I haven't had time to get either of them on the table. So I've got this table and plenty of room to play now, right? Mm-hmm. Except, we have a contractor or a handyman who's come in to do a bunch of repairs that I'm just in no shape to do at this point on the house.
Yeah, he's
a friend of a friend. So he has left a bunch of his tools and whatnot and plus lumber for some of the stuff that he needs at our place. So, you know, he doesn't have to schlep that stuff around every time he comes over to do anything. Mm-hmm. And a lot of it's on my table. So I have this table that I can't use. So which takes us back to our conversation we had off air about not having any freaking space.
Never enough space.
Yeah. So yes, I theoretically have a wonderful gaming table, but in reality I've got nothing. So anyway, those two have particularly large maps. So, yeah. And I can't really set it up on the kitchen table or the dining room table. I do have my painting table downstairs, but then I would have to move all the stuff off of that, which I could do because I'm not really using it right now.
Still.
But anyway, so because I've got those two and haven't actually been able to play them yet, I haven't wanted to buy any more. But there are a bunch on the P500 list that are interesting to me. So,
well, I will admit I went a little crazy. I backed. Is back the right way to refer to it? Or ordered? I guess ordered.
I guess ordered. You're not really. I guess you're kind of backing it. I don't know.
I don't know what the correct terminology is.
Because
I'm a moron. I insert correct terminology here. The Twilight Struggle, which I don't have the core game yet, but I'll get because it's easy enough to get. But it's Turn Zero on promo packs. It's the third printing they're doing. So this is like special cards and things that actually enhance the game. It's only $14. I said, why not? And then because I'm really into politics, I insert phrase here. Mr. President, the American Presidency 2001 to 2020. That was not cheap. I think that's $52. I went in for Fire in the Lake, third printing, because that's supposed to be amazing, like a really good introduction to coin. What do I have for coin? Do you know what I have for coin? I have something for coin.
You have the Distant Plane, don't you?
Yes. And that, after I got it, I did some reading and learned that's not a good introduction. But Fire in the Lake is supposed to be a good one. Cuba Libre, I guess, is the best one. But that just doesn't really interest me at all. And Fire in the Lake does. I mean, it's Vietnam, and that's supposed to be a good introduction. So I did that one, which none of these have shipped yet. And then I also did Prime Minister, which is politics, but you're in England. So that just kind of sounds cool. And that's also not cheap. That was, what was that, $52. So with my luck, they're all going to drop at exactly the same time. And that'll be like... lots of money coming out at once, but I will admit I didn't do them all at one time. Like one day I looked, I was like, well, I'll do this one. And then another week I was like, well, maybe, you know, this one doesn't seem so bad. I can put in, and I don't even know where they are with the numbers, if they're even made the cut or anything yet. I haven't looked. Just so many things there. It's interesting stuff, but I think they'll be fun to play. And I think all or almost all of them can be soloed, which is something I'm really kind of leaning into.
Yeah, me too, at this point, for obvious reasons. I think a lot of people are. There's a lot of stuff there that interests me. I don't know. I don't know. I haven't chucked any money at them yet, but I'm going to. I mean, it's just the ones I particularly am interested in are Time for Trumpets, Bayonets and Tomahawks, and there were two other ones, and now I'm actually on the page and I can't find them.
I'm on the page too. They may have already shipped, depending on what it is.
Yeah, actually, Time for Trumpets is shipping now, I think. I'm not going to waste time looking for them, but there were two other ones that were particularly interesting. So I don't know. We'll see how it goes.
I was a little tempted by the Command and Colors Feudal Japan one, mainly because I love Feudal Japan with a deep-seated desire. But then I realized I haven't actually used the other Commands and Colors that I have. So I decided I shouldn't get another one that I'm not going to open.
Yeah, no, I guess that makes sense. But
I'm trying to be logical.
I did get sensible about our hobby, but whatever.
What did I get? It's down. Is it down here? Yeah. So I did pick up, and I haven't opened it, but I watched some playthroughs, and this seems to be a pretty quick and easy game to play. It's called 13 Days, the Cuban Missile Crisis, 1962. So
yeah.
There's two versions of these. It's like 13 whatever, and then 13 Days. 13 Days is a card-based one, but there's another one that's an actual like full map kind of thing. And this is a case of it's like a control kind of game where you go and you have cards, and then you have to like play cards, different areas, and each one's have different icons. Some are, you know, American cards, some are Soviet cards, some are like UN kind of cards, and you earn control points or whatever as you get and work your way up through the hours to see if you can avoid nuclear Armageddon, so to speak. And just, I don't know, it sounded really interesting, and that's another period in our history that I particularly find enjoyable, but I didn't get to open it yet because my table was filled up with stuff from work. And now that it's not, I should just plop this on my table so that it'll be a reminder to go and play.
Yeah.
Which would be a good idea. Yeah, that would be handy. I'll do it.
Okay.
I find being affirmative about things, actually, with me anyway, makes it happen. I kind of dragged my feet for a while to paint some last things from Dwarven Forge because I had to paint inside like these narrow corridors. And to get in there, I knew it was going to be a pain in the butt. And so I put it off for months. And then finally I said, you know what? I'm going to do it. I'll do it tomorrow night. So then like tomorrow night came, you know, from when I said it. And I was like, I don't really want to, but I was like, I said I'm going to do it. So I will do it. So I sat down and I did it. And it felt so good to get it done, actually. It was really nice.
Yeah.
And now that's all done. And
cool.
I'm like, everything's painted. It's pretty sweet. we should probably talk about, I know we're probably going long, but we should probably talk about, since we're talking about Kickstarters, our Kickstarter that we did that made this possible, right? The Kickstarter for a 2021 podcast season. And I'm not really sure what to say about it other than we did it. It was successful. We're making the season. I hear riveting stuff, right?
Oh, my God. Yeah. Oh, go ahead.
No, I was going to say we have some. Actually, this is something that would be interesting maybe for people. Well, I'll get to why in a minute. So one of the backer rewards that we had was that if people backed at a certain level, they got to play D&D role-playing game virtually. I'm laughing because you and I were talking earlier just about how retro stuff isn't doing it for us right now. But a D&D role-playing game virtually this year, run by an award-winning GM, David Benavides, who is known to both of us, a buddy, friend of the show. And right now, all the people involved with that, because I kind of nudge things with this email chain to everyone to say like, hi, and you know, let's get the ball rolling and go and do whatever you need to do. So I've been seeing all these emails from everyone, and it's really neat because people are introducing themselves and saying, you know, where they live or what time zones and all that sort of stuff. And it's getting around to like what kind of characters they like to play. But it's, I kind of chuckle inside because as I'm reading all the emails, everyone is just being so polite. Well, I like to play this, but really I'll play anything. And I don't, you know, whatever's going to make the rest of you happy. And everyone's doing the same thing. And it's just, everyone is being so polite about, well, whatever, it's going to make everyone else happy. I kind of like this, but we don't have to. And I mean, that's what you do, right? When you meet a group for the first time, you do whatever. No, I'm not saying it's not authentic. It's definitely is, but you just kind of go like the extra mouth, be like, well, whatever's going to make everyone happy. And so it's at that phase of people trying to do the scheduling and coordinating, getting everything going of, well, this is kind of cool. Do you think it's cool too? Cause if you don't, then it's not cool.
At least they're doing some planning. That's farther than a lot of D&D groups get.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh man. Yeah. I think that'll be fun. I mean, we were talking about how the virtual stuff doesn't really do it for us. And that's certainly true. But like I said, too, the role playing is different. that works virtually. It's not as much fun, but it's fun. It works. I mean, we've done it with David, actually. I mean, he wasn't running. He was playing. So
no, but and he's really good.
Yeah. So, yeah, it works. So I think that'll be a good time for them when they get it rolling. Just hopefully they can get it rolling before the next Kickstarter.
Oh, I'm sure they will. Some of the people involved, so there's Jamie from the show. So he's involved, kind of representing us in part. We have Alyssa Faden is playing in it. And there's some other individuals as well. Oh, Carol Pandolf from the Muses Touch Painting Service. And so there's a group of people, and they all have experience with D&D, which is invaluable. You notice I didn't mention that I was sitting in on it because that would be a bad idea. I did think about it for a while, and I was like, no.
Why would it be a bad idea? Explain to us why it would be a bad idea. And then I'll tell you why I think it would be a bad idea.
Well, we both know. Also, I think it really comes down to the fact that I'm terrible at it. I mean, I don't have a lot of experience, but I'm terrible. I'm absolutely terrible at role playing. I can't.
That is actually not a true statement. But you are, everybody who's listening who has been in a role playing group has had that guy at the table. John in a role playing setting is that guy.
The one everyone loves, who wants to give everyone a big hug and cheer everyone up?
Yeah, that's the guy.
Yeah, that's a...
Yeah, whatever. Yeah, it's probably just as well that you won't play. Although, on the other hand, it might be fun for everyone to experience it. I don't know.
And then there's another one that isn't at the planning stages just yet, but Devil in the Wilderness is being done. It was another option for individuals, and that's being done as a virtual game. And we're just waiting on people to fill out their backer surveys. So that
happened.
So we're just over half of backer surveys have been filled out, and it's been about a month. So I'm hoping people don't forget. I kind of prod them every update to be like, fill out your backer surveys so things can get going.
Yeah, definitely do that.
But everyone who's filled it out has received their rewards or in the process of getting them.
Cool.
So that's a really cool thing. And some things are really ahead of schedule, which made me very happy. I love when we're ahead of schedule.
Yeah, because it never happens. So yeah, that's good.
it's pretty nice. But it just, I don't know, it was nice to see the outpouring of support from all sorts of different corners of the gaming sphere. Gaming sphere wouldn't have corners, but you know what I mean?
Yeah, I do. Oh, man.
I mean, I guess if the gaming sphere was flattened and was a disc, the corners of the disc world would have that, and individuals have come from all over, even from the counterpoint. That's kind of nice.
I don't have the slightest clue what you were talking about for the last 45 seconds. It was completely meaningless words coming out of your mouth.
Are you familiar with Terry Pratchett?
I'm very familiar with Discworld, but I just, in the context, it didn't make any sense to me. Maybe it's just me. Maybe I'm tired.
It's probably just you, because I am nothing if I'm not completely relatable and easy to understand.
If you say so. man, that's fun though. I don't know. Maybe next year we can do a role playing thing where you actually run it, like this punk thing that you just bought. I think that would be a good idea.
I think it'd be interesting. I'm kind of curious to see how it differs from the little bits that I know. Of Shadowrun? Is that it? And Cyberpunk. Is it Shadowrun? I'm getting that wrong, aren't I?
Yeah, you're kind of asking the wrong guy, because a role playing game expert I am not, so I'm not sure. But what is the name of the game again that you backed?
No, it is Shadowrun. It's called Anarchy.
Anarchy, right.
A punk centric role playing game set in 1983.
Yeah, you should commit to running that next year for the Kickstarter.
You know, if that would get people to play and get people to back, not only would I do that, it'd be a train wreck, but not only would I do that, but I would get like a mohawk or dye my hair, do something crazy that was very punk-like for it. I would do that. Old me would not. New current me would say, why the heck not? Let's give it a try.
Yeah, if you dye your hair green and get a mohawk, that would bring people on board, yeah.
If for no other reason than to just laugh at the car crash on the side of the road.
Oh, my word. Worth thinking about.
People love to rubberneck, right?
Yeah. Well, maybe it's something we can talk about.
Yeah, that's a thing to consider. What else is there to talk about? Oh, actually, people might be interested. By the time they hear this, if you head on over to our website, wargamingrecon.com, there's an article you should hear about. So with pandemic, our stable of authors have not been able to, I don't blame them, but they haven't been writing as much, right? Because pandemic and people are busy with other things. But we do have an article that's out now. It's our first one for 2021 by Robert Dunn, and it is called, just as I get to the title of it, What You May Have Missed. And he highlights some of the games and products that are coming out this year in 2021 that he is most excited for. And there's interesting ones in here. I know when I read it, there were things I wasn't even aware of that was coming out. And I'm not going to tell you what they are because I want you to go ahead and read the article. So if you head on over to wargamingrecon.com, you can check that out and get that and give it a read. It's not very long, but it's pretty cool. There's links to where you can get the games and everything. So that's pretty neat that exists and that's there. And I know he's eager to do more. He's going to do some game reviews coming up. What is one? What's that one called that Mark McLaughlin did? Is it Ancient Civs of the Inner Sea? Is that right?
Yeah.
So he has another one coming out that GMT is doing that is similar to it, but it's different. But it's another Ancient Civs of the blah, blah, blah. And see, this one wasn't in my notes, so I can't write this down. It isn't a P500, though. Excuse me. Oh, here it is. Ancient Civilizations of the Middle East. So when this comes out in... And actually, it made the cut because it had 704 orders, and it's working its way through. But when this comes out, I believe a review copy is coming our way. Robert's going to review it, play it, and do a thing. And then that'll get written up on the website. And then we also have, Mark Huskins has been building up a storm of review stuff from Things in the Basement. And he has some personal things going on, but he's working on getting those written up for what he's done and all that kind of stuff. And I believe the pictures are all in our Facebook group, the Wargaming Recon fan club group. So you can see what he's done. And it's kind of been over months. He's been just kind of diving deep into that kind of stuff. So you can see, but we'll have more of that happening on the website, which is pretty neat.
Excellent.
Yeah. I know you said you haven't really been painting or any of that, and partly because your table's covered, so why paint if you can't put the stuff on the table and your life is just jam-packed with everything? If you were to have time and desire to work on one thing in particular, what would that be in the near future?
Well, as a matter of fact, I do have time. It's a matter of getting all the stuff together and getting everything set up to actually work on it. But if we're talking in terms of miniatures, what I would probably put on the table first would be the 28mm 7 Years War stuff that I have yet to finish, because I've Honors of War, which has been out for quite a while now. It's one of the Osprey rule sets from, what is the author's name? Kevin Flint. Yeah, Kevin Flint. Very good set rules for the 7 Years War. Not super complex or anything like that, but they give a good flavor for the period. But anyway, I would probably finish up all the stuff that I have for those guys. I've got most of the Prussian stuff painted for a small scenario. I need to paint one more regiment of Prussian infantry, and then I have some Austrian stuff that I have to paint. But that will be the first thing that I put onto the painting table, which probably will happen next month sometime.
Cool.
So is that, and I don't know what beyond that I would put out right now. I don't know. I don't know what else I would put out next. I was talking about the 6mm stuff, so I do want to go, like, you know, hard on the World War II 6mm stuff that I had and get that together. So that would probably be next. But the 7 Years War stuff that I have has been in limbo for so long, and it's so close to being done. That's probably what I'll do next, without a doubt. And the reason that was painted up so fast, even though it's 28mm, is thank you, contrast paint.
Oh, I love those.
I do too. They're very handy. They don't, I was going to say they don't work as advertised. That's not really true. They do. But it certainly doesn't look like a professional paint job, but by God, it's good enough for me. And they work better than I expected, which took me by surprise. So
me too.
But anyway, that's how I was able to get those Prussians painted so quickly. But yes, that will be next. I'm hoping to be, and it kind of depends on what happens here with some of the stuff that I have going on, you know, personally and health wise. Mm-hmm. But with luck, by the end of next month, I'll have that back on the table and be rolling on those guys.
That's cool. Yeah. I have some minis I'm working on. They're not, people are going to laugh. You're going to laugh. I don't care. So I got this package that showed up one day from Leadbeer's Tufts, from Barry Scarlett. Barry's a wonderful individual. And he has two minis that are new that he's selling. And they are miniatures of him and his kid, but as if they were bears, because the whole lead bears thing.
Yeah.
So with the, it's just like from his logo. So they're like the comic versions of like the daddy bear and the kid bear. And so they showed up and I got all excited and I spray painted them. So they're all primed and brown and I got to go ahead and paint them. But I decided that they're going to be the first minis that I tackle and actually paint of this year, probably because it's going to be easy, right? It's going to be a lot of dry brushing and some areas of detail, the claws, the eyes, kind of want to get all that going and do well. But they look so well. And yeah. It turns out that they were sculpted. I want to make sure I get this right. They were sculpted by Hartley Anderson of Project Bunker. And then they were cast for Barry by Nick Robson of Eureka Miniatures.
Oh, cool. And,
Barry had put up a thing on the Leadbeer's Tufts Facebook page saying, if you think you would like to commission Hartley to sculpt something for you, contact him via the following email address of projectbunker@yahoo.com. And I was floored that Barry sent these to me. And I know he sent them to some other individuals. Not everyone, but people here and there got them. And I was really happy to get the pack. And they're just really beautifully sculpted, really well cast. They look nice. They feel good on your hand, which shouldn't matter, but it does, right? And
it does.
They're going to just be fun to have and to have painted up and everything on the table and just kind of there staring at me. A nice little project. I've kind of come to the realization that I don't enjoy painting armies or forces because there's too much repetitiveness there. So I feel like I never make any progress, but doing a piece here or there is enough that kind of just brings me a little bit of joy. And so if I need an army done or anything, I'll just hire someone, whether it's like a Carol Pandolf or whether it's a John Caputo who has his own commissions service now or whatever. They both have really reasonable rates and give them a little work and get stuff going. So I think that's where things going to be going for me, but cool. I'm looking forward to painting these bears. They're really cute.
Cool.
Yeah. Otherwise, those are all the cool things that I have in my list for us today.
Excellent. Yeah, I haven't been doing any gaming with people, obviously. I have been doing a fair bit of solo gaming, mostly ASL, Advanced Squad Leader, for those who don't know, and Silent Victory, and The Hunters and the Hunted from GMT, the submarine games.
Oh, good games.
They're a lot of fun. Yeah, you have to kind of get into the narrative that they you know, and fill in the stories you're playing, because otherwise with those games you're just kind of rolling dice to see what the next thing that happens is, and that's not as much fun as it could be. But they're very good games. They're well designed, and like I say, if you're into the, what would you say, the narrative fiction kind of a thing of gaming, which I actually am, then they're great, and you got to fill in the blanks there with that kind of stuff. But yeah, I've been enjoying those quite a bit. So if you have any interest in submarine warfare and you're looking for a game that you can play by yourself, any of those would do. The Hunters, The Hunted, Silent Victory, and what's the new one? Beneath the Med.
Yes.
Which is Italian submarines. Yeah, we have a review of that one, actually, or an article reviewing it.
We do, yeah. Robert Dunn did a review of that. Yeah. And then I've talked about the American one, Silent Victory, before the show, and I don't know if I did a write-up on it or not.
Yeah, but they're a lot of fun. They're a lot of fun.
They must kind of resonate with you, too, because I know we've talked about this before on the show, but you're a retired submariner.
I am. But I've been interested in submarines and submarine warfare long before I enlisted in the Navy. In fact, the interest in that is what led me to the Navy.
Oh, is it?
It is, yes. Yep. books at the local library, kids, they're not all good. They can ruin your life. In particular, since we're talking about it, I'll say there is one book, and the title of the book, you can get it on Amazon, actually, if you're lucky and willing to pay for it, but it's called Wake of the Wahoo. And the author's name was Forrest J. Sterling, and he was the yeoman on USS Wahoo in World War II. So the book is just basically a narrative of, you know, his life in the war patrols on Wahoo. And he transferred off Wahoo as she was leaving on her last patrol when she was sunk. So he was they left from Pearl Harbor, stopped at Midway for a reason that I can't remember. And he had applied to go to, some school. I forget what it was. But he transferred off when they stopped at Midway so he could go to the school. And then Wahoo went on her way and ended up being sunk in the Sea of Japan. So,
wow.
But the book is really outstanding. And I was like, I read this book like repeatedly when I was a kid. How old was I when I first found that? 12 or 13? Not very old. But anyway, that led to a bunch of further reading about World War II submarines, Japanese, German, American. And I was like, yeah, this is pretty cool. I can give this a shot. So that's what led me to the Navy.
That's interesting.
Reading books.
Yeah, and the books on Amazon. Right now, there's 9 of them for $25.29 with Prime.
That's not bad.
No, that's actually pretty cheap.
Yeah.
So you're going to – you already know this kind of stuff about me, but you're going to – probably just shake your head anyway. So when I've been playing Silent Victory, so I have all these, and you, as soon as I say this, you're going to know where I'm going. So I have all these smart bulbs where they change colors and everything. So when I've been playing Silent Victory, I play down in the studio. So it's downstairs, it's down in the whatever. And then I have all the lights like turn to like red, like I'm under attack. So it really kind of sets the stage for me. So I feel all like sequestered down there. And you can't do anything to really replicate the sound of depth charges coming at you or anything, but it gets me in the mindset anyway. So I kind of dive into
Now and then have Trisha run down the stairs and spray you with a garden hose or something like that to simulate flooding. And
you know, that'd be interesting. She would do it too. She'd be like, yes, at last. But it helps to set the narrative a little bit more because you're right.
Yeah. See, I don't find that odd at all. Whatever you got to do to help enjoy life, man.
But it's fun. I only have the one, but I do love the game. And like you said, if you can get into that narrative, it's really enjoyable. I've really bought into the whole, like, I have my crew and the captain and we got to do our best. So you don't want to chance it if you think you're going to go down. But if you can make a difference in the war effort, then maybe you should go. I mean, I sunk a carrier. I still don't know how I did that, but that was pretty amazing.
Yep. No, it's they're really good games. They're really enjoyable. So I like them quite a bit. But yeah, you definitely got to kind of make up the story in your mind as you go, you know, to get the most out of them, at least in my opinion. So
I could see if someone was so inclined that it could be fun to, as you're doing it, just kind of like jot little notes down in a notebook or whatever, and then create almost like a diary entry, kind of like in the shoes of the person you're playing as, right? Because you have to have a character kind of who's the commander of the boat.
You do, yeah, because you advance. It's not, you know, it's not quite role playing, but you gain abilities and some skills and stuff, and your crew advances in abilities and skills. So yeah.
It could be a neat chance for someone who's inclined to write fiction to tackle something. And even if they only kept it for themselves as a it could be a neat little project.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
But no, it's fun stuff. I think they hit it out of the park.
They definitely did with those.
I don't know that they have any more coming out or intend to come out, but I'm trying to figure out what they would do. So they've done
Japan.
Oh, yeah, they haven't done Japan, have they?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
And Great Britain and the Soviet Union.
Okay, I guess you're right. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
I was just thinking, like, they've tackled the Mediterranean, they've tackled the Pacific, they've tackled the Atlantic. Well, where else would they go?
Yeah, definitely Great Britain and Russia. I mean, neither of those get a lot of play in, like, you know, historical books, but they do deserve some more. I mean, particularly the Russians, but even the Great Britain submarines were very active. So, I mean, the big players were obviously the U.S., Japan, and Germany. But that whoever would have thought that an Italian submarine game would make sense? But you know, it does.
No, that's true.
You know, they were certainly active. They're just overlooked, and it's a little bit unfair. I mean, they weren't, you know, they weren't as active or significant, say, as Germany or America, but still, it's an interesting area to game. So, I think they'll absolutely do Japan at some point. In fact, I'm saying that because I vaguely think I thought I'll mention that somewhere, but I could be making that up. But I think they'll definitely do Japan, and I think it would make sense for them to do Great Britain and Russia too.
Yeah, I'm not going to disagree just because I hope they make all of them. It'd be fun. I think Japan, like, I agree with you. I think Japan's probably the most plausible. And the other show, why the heck not? I'm kind of curious if they're going to try to adapt it to other time periods, because Cold War sub-warfare would be really interesting.
Yeah, yeah, it could be. You kind of have to imagine how Cold War submarine warfare would look, though. I mean, I can tell you how it would look. It would look nothing at all like World War II submarine warfare. But that's a possibility. I don't know if they could extend this system, but I would like to see. It would be fun if they could do something like that. I mean, Cold War submarine warfare is going to be a lot of sub versus sub stuff.
Yeah.
And it would have to be very different from the way they handle submarine versus submarine combat in Silent Victory.
True.
But yeah, it could be fun. So hopefully they're listening.
I don't know if there would be enough of a demand, or if it even makes sense for them to go back to World War One and do sub warfare in that, because it was so new, right?
Yeah, it could. I mean, that's another way they could go. Yeah, instead of going forward, going back to World War One, because obviously that was the beginning of it all, and it was huge. It was just as big of a deal in World War One as it was in World War Two, maybe even more so. But that's a way they could go with it. That would be fun. Way back in the old days, SPI had a war game called U-Boat that was primarily designed for World War II combat German submarines, but also there were rules in there for World War I. And of course, it was a whole different game, because until very late there was no sonar, and they had, you know, explosive sweeps and stuff like, which is basically a fishing net that the destroyer would drop and drag behind it and hope to catch a submarine and blow it up in this freaking explosive net, stuff like that. So, you know, a little bit different from anti-submarine warfare in World War II. But that game played well. I've still got that somewhere, I think, unless that's one of the ones my mom threw away. It's very depressing. My mom went on a cleaning jag as she was getting older, and there was still some stuff at the house, and she threw away a lot of it. That may have been one of the ones that went. I'm not sure. But anyway, yes.
That would be sad.
There's definitely, believe me, there's a lot of stuff that is gone, and it's sad. What was I saying? Yeah, there's a lot of ways they could go with that system, and actually going back to World War One with it makes a little bit more sense to me than going forward to the Cold War. So, yeah. But anyway, if you're interested in submarine warfare, those four games are worth checking out.
I definitely recommend the one that I played and that I have, and I know Beneath the Med has done very well and is well-beloved, and you have everything under the sun, so that's a good thing.
Oh, my word.
No, those are good things. You talking about your mother tossing stuff. It just made me think how my parents, oh God, it's so embarrassing. They have so much of my gaming stuff. It's awful. They shouldn't by now.
They shouldn't. And that's why it was difficult for me to get mad. I mean, the stuff was in an area where it's like, they weren't using the space for anything. She never said anything about it. So I was like, yeah, I got to get that out of there at some point. Yeah, I got to get that out of there at some point. And then I went to get it and I was like, Mom, where's all this? Oh, I got rid of all that. I didn't think you were going to want it. Well, I did. And I wish you would have asked, because I certainly would have gotten it the heck out of here. But she didn't. And so I didn't. So now it's gone forever.
It's mine is really embarrassing. So I shouldn't share it, but I'm going to. So not only, like, my parents kept stuff, and it's interesting with my parents, right? So they moved from the house where I spent not my whole life, but a large chunk of my life. And they bought a new house not too far from where we live. And they weren't too far from where I live anyway beforehand. But they moved closer and they wanted to be in the same town. And so they moved everything, including all my gaming stuff.
Oh, my God. That is embarrassing. Yeah.
And then they... Oh, God. It's awful. So then they stored... It's stored. It is stored. It's currently being stored in the lower level of their home, and what they, once it gets cleared out by me, what they want to use as a playroom for my kids, for when my kids are over there. And so there's all these storage kind of shelving things, and sort of it's filled with their stuff, but most of it is my gaming stuff. So I've been going over once a week because they're proud of our bubble, and going and getting stuff. I'll get whatever can fit in the trunk of my car, which isn't a ton, but I always end up with these treasures. So I brought back, and now I'm told it's vintage, but at the time it didn't feel it. A vintage from when I was a kid, Star Wars Rancor. He was a little dusty, so I dusted him up. So I have him on display. I found a Forge World Chaos War Mammoth that is out of print now. Sealed in boxes or open, but never used or anything. Entire Warhammer armies, Tomb Kings, Vampire Counts, tons of this kind of stuff. Necrons, you name it. It's just ridiculous stuff. And so I'm going through and like trying to decide what I'm going to do with stuff. But I've decided that I think a lot of it I'm going to sell because I'm not going to use it.
Yeah, if you're not going to use it, and that stuff is basically money. So, yeah.
Yeah, I looked online for what the stuff's going for, and a lot of it's going for stupid amounts of money. I don't understand it. But you betcha I'm going to make use of it when the time comes. But it's all this kind of stuff. It's interesting to see things from games they don't make anymore. Starship Troopers by Mongoose Publishing.
Oh, yeah. I've got the original Avalon Hill Starship Troopers.
Okay. I found a plasma bug that got built and painted and then some other over the years got battered around a little bit. So I have all the pieces. I just would have to re-glue them. No need for it. Old Pinewood Derby cars when I was in the Cub Scouts. I mean, just random stuff. It's fascinating, actually. But like the kids see the stuff. And depending on what it is, some of it they get more interested in others. But so I'm working my way through that pile of stuff.
Cool.
And I know they're not going to throw the stuff out, but there's just so much of it. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, I hear you.
All the gaming stuff I bought over the years. And like I'll find things that I never even realized I bought. And I don't know what I was thinking, but clearly I bought it. And I don't know. Life is weird.
It is kind of. Oh, by the way, the name of that SPI game I mentioned, I said U-Boat. I was wrong. It's Upscope, as I recall now. In case anybody's out there looking for it.
I'm sure the angry messages are already coming in right now. People are preemptively responding. We just know they're going to get the name wrong of this game. And they're sending the hate mail in, and it's going to post on social, and there's going to be a hashtag dragging us through the mud.
I like to be accurate when I can. So, I lost a lot of stuff. It's too bad.
It's sad.
But yeah, anyway, so that's kind of what I've been up to. Like I say, a lot of solo stuff. There's the GMT games and Advanced Squad Leader. So, yeah, that's what I've been doing.
That's cool. You've been gaming more than I have.
Yeah, I really need to investigate Vassal for Advanced Squad Leader, but I don't have the energy for it.
Yeah, I saw something on Facebook where someone was complaining about how hard it is to try to figure it out. And some other people were saying that if you do a search on YouTube, it's like, I guess it's very apparent which ones they are, but there are some videos or channels that kind of deal with that and make it really easy to understand what to do.
Yeah. I don't know if I would say easy, but there are a lot of Vassal videos out there, and it's not just for Advanced Squad Leader either. A lot of games have been put on Vassal now. So it's, particularly nowadays, it's worth people's while to check it out. The next gaming project, board game I'll get on for solo, and I hate to say this, maybe I'll try to video some of it, we'll see how things go, but it's the Clash of Arms Napoleonic games.
Oh,
I'm in a Facebook group called Cardboard Cuirassier, which was started by an old friend of mine, Ed Wimble, who owns and kind of runs Clash of Arms games now. He's got all the old Marshall Enterprises Napoleonic games, which in my opinion are the best Napoleonic board games out there. A little pricey, worth the money in my opinion. But anyway, he invited me to that Facebook group and I was like, yeah, I should get those on the table again. So that might be the next thing I do.
I think you should do it whether you take video or not. You should just put them on the table and do it.
Well, I will. And I'll definitely do that.
Yeah.
But that'll be the next thing that's not miniatures related anyway, probably.
Cool. For those who don't know, before I know we're winding up, but the Hobby Bunker here in Boston is no longer here in Boston. It's moved. They shut down. They're no longer in Malden. They're opening up a new store and a building all for themselves in, I believe it's Wakefield.
Yeah, so. Wakefield. I was going to say they were never in Boston. They were in Malden, but yeah.
No, okay. I know, but people, it's all Boston. Either you live in Boston or you're not in Massachusetts. Or the Cape, right? Boston, the Cape, or you're not in Massachusetts. Unless you're from around here, then you're like, no, it's not Boston.
That's a very Massachusetts way to look at things.
I mean, isn't it?
Yeah. But there are new places in Wakefield, which I did not get to see before leaving. But I don't know. Who knows? Maybe we'll be back up there at some point. We'll be able to swing in.
Yeah. I know they're in the process right now of getting it all ready and everything. I think it was an old Maytag place.
I forget. Yeah, something like that. But
so they got all that going on, getting it all set up and everything. Then they're going to open in, is it mid-April? Does that sound right?
I think that's what he said. I'd have to go and check. I don't know if I can find the post now.
I think it's something like mid-April.
Yeah.
Just put a little asterisk there, everyone, with a note saying, Jonathan doesn't know, so he's probably wrong because he's always wrong. Don't hold it against him. But it's something like that anyway, which yeah. I think is a pretty quick turnaround.
Yeah, it's not bad. They were only going to need a couple of weeks. Let's see. Last date the store will be open to the public in Malden is March 15th. New location starting April 1st, he says. 103 Albion Street in Wakefield, Mass.
Okay, there we go. April 1st.
Yeah.
So that's really cool. But it's a different place. I guess there's a lot of space in the back for the whole warehouse kind of thing that he has going on. So he'll still be able to do online orders. And there's going to be space to game and the store and what. Different, of course. Different location and everything's. But kind of cool that he's still able to stick around and do that. Sad, obviously, that he had to move. Not his own desire. And especially sad after all. He was in the press like every day.
Every day, yeah.
Videos and the news and just all sorts of stuff. Really hyping them up and saying wonderful things. But good stuff. So just worth sharing for anyone, even if you're not in the area. He will still be doing his online ordering, so you can check out them online and place orders there. So even if you don't have a friendly local game store near you, notice that I put the emphasis on friendly. You might have a local game store. They might not be friendly, though. You can do business with a friendly local game store that is independently owned and operated.
Yeah, the great thing about the Bunker too is it's not just a game store; it's a genuine hobby shop. So yeah. You know, any kind of modeling or scenic stuff, game related or not, it's a good place to go because he's either got it or he can probably get it. So
yeah, and I'm sure a lot of that. I obviously they won't have as much space, but I'm sure a lot of that. Just going with them and they'll find a way to do it and take orders or whatever. And if you're doing the online ordering thing, it doesn't really matter.
Exactly. Yep.
That's pretty cool. But yeah, there we go. Adrian, this has been absolutely delightful. I've been looking forward to this all weekend and all day. I'm so happy that we've done this.
Me too. me too. Seriously, it's been a long time. I've missed doing it. So, yeah.
That's cool.
I was definitely glad you, I got the feeling you were kind of not wanting to bother me or anything, even though I specifically told you to go ahead and bother me. And I was okay to do the shows and stuff if you wanted to. And then I was like, oh, maybe he doesn't want me to do the shows. Well, that's fine. Heck with him. I didn't say the heck, but.
No, you're right. I literally did not want to bother you. I didn't want you to feel. That I was pestering you or anything.
Yeah, no, I know. But
you have so much on your plate. It's the last thing I'd wanted to do.
Yeah, no, I know you were feeling that way. But no problem.
And actually, people, presuming it all works out, and we believe it will, you're planned and scheduled to be on, I don't know when it's going to come out. I guess it's going to come out probably early May or end of April. Near the end of April, we're doing recording an episode with Alyssa Faden, who is a warmonger in the best possible way, hashtag warmonger for those on social. She's a wargamer, and she's also an incredibly talented and skilled cartographer for role-playing games. And so she's going to be coming on and just talk about gaming. We'll geek out about stuff, but the plan is that you'll be hopefully able to be on for that too. So that'll be a fun chance for people to not only get to hear her and all that kind of stuff, but also to have you, because you might not believe it, but people tell me all the time how much they really enjoy having you on the show. I don't hear how much they enjoy having me on.
I think it's a given that they enjoy having you on.
Are you sure? Because
oh yeah, yeah.
I think they tolerate me. But Pete, you have a fan club.
That makes me happy. It is a little surprising. I'm not the kind of guy that I feel like I inspire fans or whatever. But no, I'm gonna. Well, that's good to hear.
People really like having you on. You've been missed not only by me, but I've heard from people. They have thoroughly missed your presence on the show.
Well, I appreciate hearing that. Yeah, I'm just not to harp on it or any of that crap, but things are relatively stable right now, so I'll be around for a bit. You know, things are subject to change. We'll see what happens. But right now, everything's pretty good. So
that's good.
Yeah.
That's really good. Well, everyone, like I said, you'll be able to get access to all the things that we talked about. Well, not all. I'm not going to lie. Too many of the things we talked about. Because I say all. That's my habit because usually it's all. But we talked about so many things that aren't on my list. And I got two small kids, right? I started a new job where I'm still doing my old job. So I'm doing two full-time jobs in the amount of time of one full-time job. And still getting the whole Kickstarter stuff going out. I'm not going to be able to go back and fill in all the stuff that we talked about. Because, Adrian, you and I, we talked about a lot of things that we didn't plan about.
Yeah, we did. We actually did have an outline, a plan. We always have an outline and or a plan.
Yeah.
I don't know if either one of us even actually looks at it during the show. I assume you do. I don't.
I do. I have it. I'll put a picture up online because I have a new setup that, you saw.
Yeah.
Because I'm a nerd. But I look at it. It's like little brainstorm, the talking points, really. Things that might be of interest or worth talking about, or links to stuff, that kind of stuff. But
we do tend to wander far afield, though.
That's okay. I mean, that's the wonderful thing about these. The talking points, it's just something to kind of get conversation going to see where things are. But there's so much wonderful goodness, nuggets of gold that weren't on this list. And for me to say, just go to the show notes for all of the stuff would be disingenuous of me. And you'd get there and you'd be like, Jonathan lied. I can't trust him again. That guy, that jerk, cancel him now. So if I say many of the things that we talked about, which is true, are on there, you'll be able to get to them by going to wargamingrecon.com/WR266, because this is the 266th episode of the show. Oh my God, that's a lot.
That's a lot of episodes, yeah.
Wow, just think, on average, it's about an hour long. So that's 266 hours of listening to me and someone else talking. Even I don't want to hear that.
No.
No. But it's there, and you can get it in every way, shape, or form that you'd like. So are you doing the social media thing anymore? Or can people keep up to date with you on social anywhere?
The show's Facebook pages, the podcast fan club and just the regular page. I'm off at Twitter. I don't have access to our Instagram account, do I? But
no, I can give it to you though.
Yeah, but if they want to keep in touch with me for gaming related stuff, the Facebook pages for the show are the way to do it.
Cool. And we're on all the things as Wargaming Recon everywhere you look, even in your dreams. That's creepy. I'm sorry, but we're there too because I'm sure when you're dreaming, you're thinking about what games you want to play, and you instantly think, I wonder what the fellas at Wargaming Recon have to say about this. So we're there as well. And of course you go to check us out on our website, wargamingrecon.com and wherever else. But everyone, you know the drill. Maybe you don't because it's been a while. Mm-hmm. But no matter how busy you are, no matter what's going on in your life, no matter how many tools from your local handyman who's doing some work on your home, because you don't feel up to it right now, are left on your gaming table and taking that space so that you can't use it currently, but you will. You know that you have to. You gotta. You need to. That's right. Keep on gaming. Are you always on the go? Why not take Wargaming Recon with you? If you use an app like Pocket Casts, you can listen to your favorite episodes of Wargaming Recon on your mobile device. Wargaming Recon is a proud member of the TSR Podcast Network. Visit wargamingrecon.com/TSRPN for more information and to learn about the other good shows on the network. This recording is released under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial Share Alike license. Many thanks to Andrew and Court for inspiring the show's name. Wargaming Recon is dedicated to the memory of longtime listener Andrew. I ask all listeners to join me in a moment of silence in memory of Andrew. Thank you to everyone who backed our 2021 podcast season on Kickstarter. In particular, we'd like to thank 3DDZYN at 3ddesign.com, Nate Taylor of Dwarven Forge, and Things from the Basement, where you can get highly detailed laser-cut terrain kits for 28, 20, and 15mm figures and other exciting products. We couldn't have been successful without the help of all of you. Thank you so much for your support and being part of our community. We hope you are enjoying the 2021 season.